This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, many people may have noticed we don't mind the odd renovation show.
We do mind. Well, I've noticed that you like a renovation show.
But I
have to sit
show.
In the same lounge room as you most evenings.
So you may as well enjoy it. The Block has announced its plans, and they are now official for the next 2 years.
2 years?
That's right.
So they're going to Sydney?
No.
Still not going back to Sydney.
The Block doesn't like Sydney.
No, because they can't put covenants over properties, and so they keep losing out on the bids.
Yeah, and Sydney's just stupendously overpriced when they think the Block's coming in.
Yes.
Whereas here, they can do deals. First up, Block 2017. It's going to be different this year. They're doing separate houses.
Separate? They're not renovating a building?
No.
Have they ever done a separate house? They did it in the Challengers, didn't they? Didn't they do some out west houses where they renovated a couple of houses to like and had to dropped a couple at the end of that?
I honestly don't remember, but I don't think they've ever done individual houses before. They've had like rows of terraces. They've done blocks of flats.
I guess the rows of terraces are similar.
Similar, but not the same.
Oh.
And they're moving out of the inner suburban areas to Elstonwick.
Elstonwick,
yep. So they bought a big parcel of land in Elstonwick.
There's land in Elstonwick?
Yep, apparently.
Did it have houses on it or a factory?
Look,
or?
I don't know what was there before, but it does look like it's been cleared. So I'm assuming it was
some sort of warehouse or
something.
Factory or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they've bought up five old weatherboard houses from around the state, which are being trucked in.
Oh.
And they will be what the contestants are doing up.
So they're probably like
up.
Rural sort of and then some sort of era style
Yeah,
house.
I think they're all, what would you call them?
I guess if they're moving, they have to be weatherboards.
They're weatherboard, yes.
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 And they probably like cottages. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, basically. So there's five of them going in and the contestants have to actually renovate them.
So basically put them back together and then renovate them.
Yeah, they've got one of those shipping, transport people who move houses.
Yeah.
So they're moving all the houses on and then the people have to start doing it.
Well, that's the big question, of course, is will it be five houses the same? Will the contestants be measured on the same rooms at the same time?
I'm guessing they'll have kind of the same amount of rooms, but they will most likely be different because it would be really hard to have bought five individual
plan houses.
You wouldn't think they would manage that.
Wow.
So anyway, that's that. And it is also now official, 2018, it's the Gatwick.
The Gatwick in St Kilda.
That's right.
Opposite the new proposed Pride Centre.
I know, and they'll actually both be kicking off at around the same sort of time.
No, the Minister suggested that the plans start later this year for the Pride Centre.
Yeah, but they won't get started on building until next year.
Well, they probably won't get start building until 2019.
Well, they might get going. And they can pop across the road.
I think the Gatwick will be finished well before the Pride Centre.
Possibly. But anyway, they'll be around the same, and they're going to be neighbours.
Yes, absolutely.
Because Channel 9 has confirmed that they have bought the Gatwick.
Righto.
So the big question will be, what are they going to do with it in the interim?
Well,
obviously get plans and draw up things
permits,
and rip crap out of it.
Fumigate it.
Yeah, not with fire. So they'll have to really protect it, I guess you would say, to stop people, moving back in.
Yes.
But anyway, so 2018... probably in the middle of the year,
it will start.
Yeah,
with the Block renovation, it will become a most glorious of buildings.
Oh, it'll be fabulous.
Yes.
For those who can afford it. Which there aren't that many.
They were talking, I think, in the paper a couple of weeks ago, they're like if it's divided into like six apartments.
It'll be six apartments again.
$2.5 million, $3 million or something each.
No, I reckon there'll be at least three.
$3 million?
Three plus. I reckon there'll be three plus.
Wow.
Depending on exactly how they divvy it up, but I reckon three plus. I'm confident of my sums. Confident. But anyway, so that's how it goes. And hopefully we'll get to have a look as it progresses as well.
We'll keep you up to date on the Block news.
Hint, hint, Channel 9. Hint, hint.
Yes, we'd like another look at the new site, please. Thanks.
Now, something we haven't done for a little while is have a Lindsay Lohan update.
Well,
and there is always.
Perhaps she's been behaving herself. Tristan's shaking his head.
Yeah, you know who Lindsay Lohan is, Tristan. Don't worry. Now, Lindsay Lohan.
I don't think so.
What, you don't know who she is?
No, I don't think she's behaving herself.
No, she never does. It's not her thing. But she is actually getting ready to launch a new fashion line. Now, she did actually launch...
Well, because she's so fashionable.
I know.
She does. She does gutter swill
gutter.
Like...
Gutter.
Tramp. It's like couture.
Yeah, couture, but gutter.
But it's gutter.
That's how the French say it. No, she did actually do, as was described, a trash-tastic line of leggings back in the day, about 10 years ago.
Well, when she was famous and somebody...
Well, I think she was somebody-ish back then, but nobody bought them, which is why there was only one line of them.
Right.
You know, one leg. But she's actually getting ready to do a new one. Apparently she's kind of getting more interested in Islam. Oh. And she's going to release a line of headscarves.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Well, that's it for the fashion line.
Oh.
I'm not sure how most of your more modest people would consider a Lindsay Lohan line of them, but anyway.
Well, they're probably just nice colours.
Hmm.
Or mixtures of colours.
Yeah, so there's
that. I believe that's appropriate, apart from the ones that only wear black.
No, but I'm not sure how appropriate Lindsay Lohan is.
Muslim girls wear... coloured headscarves.
Oh, yeah, some of them look fabulous.
Yeah.
But moving on from Lindsay Lohan's latest fashion adventure, she wants to have an adventure under the sea. Oh. She wants to be...
to be in a remake of 20,000 Leagues?
Well, we can only hope that was how low she'd go. But no, Disney's looking at doing a live-action remake The Little Mermaid.
Whoa, hang on. There is no way Disney are going anywhere near Lindsay Lohan this day and age.
And while
she might have been a Disney star at one stage, but they aren't touching her with a 6-foot barge pole covered in 30,000 condoms.
Unclean! But anyway, Lindsay's petitioning.
She's putting up her hand.
She's putting up her hand. She wants to play Ariel.
What?
Which is, you know, the young, pretty redhead of one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The lovely,
Mean Girls 2
innocent.
Has been put on the back burner because everybody's told her to get stuffed.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do it with her. But she said, put her hand up for that. Now, I'm not sure she'd be, appropriate to play Ariel or of the right age or have the right look. Because she looks, word? Haggard, I think, is the word I was looking for.
They could CGI her.
Now, the whole point of doing a live-action one is that the Little Mermaid will have a real face.
I'm sorry, but Disney did Star Wars with CGI.
Yeah, that was fine. That's different. These are the ones.
A live-action with CGI face.
Yeah.
And it's the same movie company.
Chris, they're not going to CGI
I'm
the Little Mermaid's
Lindsay.
Face.
I'm defending Lindsay. She can play anything she wants as long as they CGI her to the bejesus.
No, I think we all know the part that Lindsay was born to play in The Little Mermaid.
Really?
The evil witch octopus.
That's probably funny, but actually I don't know the character. I have no idea.
Trust me. You look it up.
I've never read the book or looked at the movie.
Cartoons. You look it up, Chris.
Okay.
Look up the Evil Witch Octopus and tell me that doesn't look like Lindsay Lohan down to a T.
Okay.
Now it's time for all serious. Put our serious hats on, Chris.
Serious hats.
Serious hats now.
Serious hats.
I'm giving some non-medical advice.
Can I go serious hats like Devo?
They're not very serious. They're like ziggurats. I used a big word. No, we're talking about erectile dysfunction.
Ed.
I know. We've got Pele in the studio.
Commonly known who?
Pele, the soccer player. He does erectile dysfunction ads.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right.
Now,
did Ugly Dave Gray.
I know. He did erectile dysfunction ads, didn't he? Yes. Serious
his,
hat.
With his big cigar.
Serious hat, Chris? Serious hat? Now, a study has been done to find out what juice, and we're talking fruit juice here, is best to assist with erectile dysfunction problems.
So, okay. We
have some advice now for the men out there that do suffer from a little bit of embarrassing erectile dysfunction occasionally.
Right? Nobody admits to that.
They don't have to put their hand up.
You want people to message in or something and say, yeah, that's me. We'll flag it on their membership for later reference.
I said serious hat, all right? The University of California has done a study, and they have worked out that men with these problems, if they have 220 mils...
I don't think it's problems plural. It's a problem.
It might be problems. Depends what, you know, they're, you know. Men who have 220 mils of pomegranate juice actually found that things improved for them.
That's because they're straight and they were just thinking about Nigella, who uses pomegranate on everything.
No, we don't know if they were, we don't know. But pomegranate juice is apparently, according to the scientists, the way to go.
Right.
With your dinner.
Nigella juice.
Well, funnily enough, she does love a bit of pomegranate.
She does.
So anyway, pomegranate juice.
She was always married to older men. Maybe that's what it was. That's where she got her love of pomegranate.
I think she must be at the University of California.
Joy 94.9, I mentioned Blondie and Cyndi Lauper are touring together. They are here in a week's time in the country. They're doing Day on the Green shows in New South Wales and Queensland, South Australia and WA. They'll be here in Victoria at Roachford Wines on Saturday, April the 8th. But they're also doing two arena shows, one in Sydney at the ICC Theatre and one in Melbourne at Rod Laver on April the 6th. There are still some tickets available if you want to get along to see two amazing icons of the last century and this musically.
Oh, and they will do a brilliant job.
Can you imagine
those?
And I reckon they'll get up and do stuff together.
Oh, they'll do a duet.
Yeah, or two, or three. Yeah.
They'd have to. And it would be awesome.
Deborah Harry and Cyndi Lauper on one stage. Well, whose idea was that? Amazing. Brilliant.
A really smart promoter.
Yes.
Now, speaking of smart promoters.
And touring.
Yes, Adele was, of course, here in the last, little while.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. No, I know. She just breezed through.
Yeah.
The Gabba.
Did anyone say anything? No, I didn't.
No, I didn't even see anything on Facebook.
No.
But apparently, Adele has turned down over $60 million worth of endorsements and reality TV show offers so far.
Well,
and you know why she's
turned
that
down?
She's
not doing an I Am a Celebrity, let's face it.
No, and she ain't doing an Mariah's World.
And she's not going to do Big Brother Celebrity UK, is she?
No, but she could do a Mariah's World and ruin her career in one series. So she turned all that down. She's turned Vegas down as well.
Well, apparently she was making $1 million a show.
She made
here in Australia
for the tour. She made approximately $100 million.
Was that UK and here?
For the whole tour,
which is how many? That's the US as well.
Yeah,
that's
$100 million.
8 or 9 months' work.
Yeah, that's not a bad return on investment. Yeah. And then we've got our little tidbit for about Adele as well. Did you know?
She doesn't have little tidbits.
In this case, she does, all right? Did you know?
Yes.
That Adele banned herself from hanging out with Rihanna? And you're wondering, why would she do that?
Well, why would she want to hang with Rihanna?
Well, they hang, you know.
Yeah.
But she said, no, I can't hang out with Rihanna anymore. She said she feared she'd lose her voice from all the weed in the air.
Oh, dear.
True.
Oh, dear. In the studio with us now is Spiro. He is the program manager for Melbourne Queer Film Festival. He is 9 days in with 4 to go.
Who's counting?
I'm not counting. There's still a lot to go, it seems.
There's a lot to go and there's a lot already done.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. Mm. I've seen nothing but great positive feedback.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I have to admit we've been getting some wonderful feedback from the audiences, which is the most important part, which makes me very happy. So. Mm.
What do you think has resonated spectacularly well of what we've seen so far?
We had last night we had our centerpiece film, which was a new Australian film called Pulse, and it got really great reception for, and cool. You know, really exciting for the filmmakers who are were there, and they're young, new filmmakers, their debut film. So I think it was really exciting for them just to kind of see that film with a cinema audience, I think really properly for the first time. So it was great.
I think, Guy, we've seen a reasonable selection of films, and we've only had one session where not every seat was full. So yeah. I think that's a good sign as well. Yeah, so
that's exciting. And tonight, coming into tonight as well, I have to say, you know, we've pretty much all those, you know, evening sessions are looking like they're selling or
close,
sold out
close
already.
Close to standby or sold out.
There's a few standbys already, so you got to get in there.
All so right. People got to hurry. Yeah. NQFF.com.au, people.
Yeah. Well, I know that one of your favourites is the whole John Waters genre, and that's one of the films on tonight. Is that already sold out?
No, that hasn't sold out, but, you know, that's it's one of our late films, and your audience probably can't see. I've got a John Waters-themed shirt on tonight, which has lobsters on it and will make sense when you see the film, what that actually means. Very excited about that, actually.
And this is an older John Waters film.
It's actually his debut film, and it's been restored by, funnily enough, his prestigious, you know, art house label. So I kind of love that John Waters can sit beside Ingmar Bergman. And,
Jordan. Cool. Yeah. So there are some tickets to that.
Tickets for that still.
What's the movie called?
It's called Multiple Maniacs.
That's right, yes. So, I know that you're a big fan personally.
I love John Waters. Yeah. And he's recorded a special introduction for us, which we're screening before the film tonight. So
fantastic.
You know, I think that's
so that he's really aware that this is
he's asked he's asked us to take a photo of the audience so we can send it to him. He's engaged, which is really great.
Will you take a photo of your shirt as well?
That's a good thing.
I think you should have to. A selfie in front of the audience of your shirt.
I like that. I didn't think of that. I'm going to do that.
All right. So anything else tonight that needs a last minute push?
We've got Esteros, which is on at 6:15 tonight, which is a really wonderful Argentinian debut feature, actually. And the filmmaker, this is actually based on a short that he made, and he's expanded out into feature length, which we see quite a bit, actually, with short films. It's not the first time where people get, you know, that short form story and expand on it. So it's, you know, I think that's some of the great things about short films, really, actually, is that sort of, you know, people testing out those ideas.
Yeah, cool.
So that's on tonight, and we've got a lot of stuff kind of coming up on the.
Well, obviously, you know, the Saturday and Sunday, the last weekend of the festival, so you're running films pretty much from, you know, midday onwards.
Midday onwards, actually. We've got lots of movies, and right up until the late sessions on Saturday, we've got our Hooking Up Shorts package, which I believe you are both going to.
We are.
The Shorts package is always great to put together, and the Hooking Up program in particular, I think, you know, reflects, you know, any kind of hooking up encounter. There's a lot of surprises. You don't know what you're going to get.
Excellent.
You know, it's good.
We're looking forward to that. What else should we be looking for on Saturday?
Tomorrow, a wonderful American film called Suicide Kale, which is independently made.
Is this
the
second screening
of
that?
It is the second screening, yeah. Yep. And it's been great talking to people who saw it the first time around, who there's such great buzz on it. And it's a really funny, smart movie. Like I said, it's a small budget, but you know, the filmmakers have put together a great cast and, you know, really great script and a lot of familiar behavior in it, I have to say, from you know, this couples that have a lunch together, and it sort of becomes quite revealing anyway in a lot of ways.
That's so where the note is found.
Yeah, they find a suicide note. One of them finds a suicide note, and they don't know who it's from.
Right,
but it actually begins to sort of.
Then they're trying to subtly unravel.
Yeah.
Who might have written
it's
the note?
It's very funny, actually. It's very funny.
Okay. All right. Anything else for Saturday?
We've got Saturday. What else is going on? Just trying to think, actually. Got a total mental blank. Outrun, actually. I have to admit, Outrun, which I really urge people to go and see. It's a fantastic documentary about Lad-Lad, a LGBTIQ political party in the Philippines.
Yes.
And their kind of, you know, race to elect a trans woman into Congress there. It's really exciting, and you know, I think even if you sort of knew what
the very real world. So.
Yeah, it's really, really, it's a fantastic documentary. And I, at the time when I saw it, I didn't really know what the result was, and so it's quite suspenseful as you're kind of seeing it play out. And I think it's really powerful and really entertaining. You know, I think people will love it.
Is that on? I'm just trying to work out what time of day that one's
That's on tomorrow afternoon at, from memory, I think it's 4 o'clock, quarter past 4, potentially. Yeah. Am I right?
Is that the...
It's like a test.
Yeah, I'm going to check the guide right now. It's right in
Outrun, 4:30.
There we are. There we go. Close enough.
Well, if you get there at 4, you'll have plenty of time to have a drink and then go in there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, yeah, that's fine.
What are the other highlights we need to be looking for?
I don't know if you've heard, we've announced our encore screenings, which is really exciting.
So this is on the Monday.
Yeah. So just when you think it's over and everything, it's actually back. So the encore screenings are always really great. And
Just before we get to that, is the closing night film sold out?
The closing night film is nearly sold out. So if you want to see it, you better be... Like, literally, I just checked the sales and there's hardly no tickets left. And you don't miss it. You know, it is actually a really fantastic movie. It's sort of one of my sort of highlights from the program this year. It's really great.
That's the Women Who Kill.
Women Who Kill, yeah. Again, a very, very...
Selling
movie.
Fast.
Yeah,
according to the app.
Beyond selling fast. It's like you just better run now.
So, all right. So, Monday the 27th, the encore screenings.
Yeah, we're back. And the films we've announced, Taekwondo is getting an encore screening. The other movie is The Intervention, which was on our first Friday night and, you know, kind of, you know, had the whole house packed in, you know, and in stitches. It's a really great movie, actually. It's really funny. The other movie is Below Her Mouth, which was one of the first movies that sold out, actually, in the program. And some steamy lesbian romance. Really, really good. And, yeah, again, it looks like it's gone to selling fast straight already, which
fantastic.
Is really amazing. And a new movie.
So this is a movie that hasn't shown during the festival.
Exactly.
But
it's called...
The
Surprise. Ah. It's called Handsome Devil. And, actually, Handsome Devil was the closing night film at the Mardi Gras Film Festival this year. It's a really wonderful Irish comedy. Okay. A bit of an Irish... comedy theme this year with A Date for Mad Mary and now Handsome Devil. And it's a really sweet movie. I think people are going to really like it. A
couple of cute boys on this photo. Yeah. Is it aimed at everybody, this one?
It is, actually. Yeah, it's totally aimed at everybody. And, you know, it's a real kind of celebration of, you know, being an outsider and not, you know, sort of not, you know, having to conform to, you know, sort of stereotypes. And it's a really good movie.
That's the first screening for this one rather than an encore, and that's Monday 6:15. Yep. So get in on that one as
get
well.
Get in on that, exactly, yeah.
Spiro, it's been another fantastic festival and another 3.5 or 4 days of movie going still to go.
Lots to go, yeah.
So as we keep saying, have a look at a movie.
Yeah.
Support the festival.
Thank you.
Book your tickets now, mqff.com.au, people.
I would have to say personally, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so
Another
much.
Great curation of amazing
that's
movies.
Great. Thank you. That's really nice. Thank
so
you.
How long, Spiro, do you get now as a break before you're starting work on 2018?
Not a huge break immediately. We've got the Bendigo Queer Film Festival that we do a little bit of curation for sort of coming up, and then I'm going to Bali in April.
Excellent,
which is,
good.
I'm really looking forward to
it. Collapse.
Yeah, and then, you know, sort of back to it really, and then, you know, looking into then heading off to Frameline to
I was going
to
say
some
it's,
films
it's around about late May, early June, where where all the other film festivals start
in
the Northern Hemisphere.
So to be honest with you, I've already got a 2018 folder that I'm kind of, you know, filing films away for next year. So, you know, it's happening.
It's begun.
It doesn't stop.
Love the festival. First of all, love going and seeing the films. Hope everybody else gets a chance to get down there tonight, tomorrow, Sunday,
Monday.
Got to do it.
Great.
So,
yeah, hope to see you there as well. Thank you.
Thanks for popping in once again.
My pleasure.
All right, that's Spiro from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Go to mqff.com.au to book your tickets right now. It's like for now. The first movie for tonight starts in like...
Yeah, you better hurry up and book now because you've got to get there.
Are we going to Eurovision now?
Yes, we must.
Ooh,
we must.
Love a little trip to Eurovision. Not necessarily the Ukraine.
No, I'd love a trip there. I'm not going to, but I would love it.
There's probably a couple of Russians that wouldn't mind a trip to the Ukraine.
Well, hasn't that caused the controversy?
It has. Are we covering that?
That is what we're talking. So at Eurovision, of course, in Kiev this year, which is the capital of Ukraine. Yes, you have to say it with that up inflection, don't you? And as you know, they're not the best of friends with Russia.
No. The winning song last year was a protest against the massacre of Ukrainians by the Russians, albeit
Chris,
before World War
Chris,
II.
Chris, it wasn't a protest song. You've misinterpreted it, okay? Because no songs at Eurovision are allowed to be political, okay?
Yes, right.
Now, anyway, moving on from that awful song, Ukraine, have put a bet. If you actually... I'll explain the situation. Now,
please do.
The Crimea was basically taken over by Russia.
Mm-hmm. When?
That was what? Two, 3 years ago now?
Right.
It was a couple of years ago. And Ukraine, who had it taken off them by force by Russia, said they put a ban on anybody who travels to the Crimea. If they go through Russia, they're banned from entering the Ukraine after that.
Bit like if you went to Cuba, you were not allowed to go to America and that sort of stuff.
Yes. Right. Similar but different, but similar. Like if you wanted to go to the Crimea, you have to go get a permit from Ukraine and transit through Ukraine is how they say it. But now the Russian entry for this year, she had previously been through to the Crimea via Russia and had been placed on the banned list.
Right.
Now, she was placed on the banned list prior to her being selected by Russia as their entrant.
The plot thickens.
And Russia has probably quite deliberately chose her. She's only a very young girl. She's in a wheelchair.
Oh, my.
So you can see how it's all going here, can't you?
Oh, so they're going the sympathy vote, to do with this poor, innocent, disabled girl who just needs your love and affection and she just wants to sing.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
So you can see them upping the ante here, even though they knew already that she wouldn't be allowed to go to Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
Now, the EBU, in an attempt to broker a settlement that everyone could agree with, did offer to allow Russia's poor little girl to still sing
remotely.
Via satellite.
Oh. Did the Russians accept that?
The Russians have so far rejected this offer. So that's where we stand at the moment. The EBU is trying to convince Ukraine to give her a visa to allow her to come in.
Yes.
The Russians are steadfastly standing by their position that she should be allowed to come in. And the Ukraine is steadfastly standing by their position that she will not be coming in.
Oh, dear.
So currently we have what is known as a stalemate.
Okay. It's a good job that the Eurovision keeps politics out of the contest.
There's no politics at Eurovision, Chris. Never has been, never will be. Now, moving on from the controversial decision
to ban the
Russian entrant into the Ukraine, the equally controversial decision has been made by SBS on the new hosts.
According to my Facebook feed, it's slightly
very controversial.
I don't know about other people's.
In case you've missed,
Sam and Julia retired last month, said they're not doing this year, and probably because Sam's got a major commercial radio job that's keeping him very busy and very successful.
Julia does seem to be more of an ABC girl now than an SBS person.
Yeah, so they've retired. They'd been doing it for how long? 8 years?
It was quite a long time.
And SBS said, hang on to your hats, we will announce the new hosts. And ba-bum, that's been announced today.
As we predicted last week.
Yes.
Joel Creasy is one of those hosts.
Yes. So he got his test run for the Mardi Gras broadcast.
Yes, as we also predicted.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was a bit of a surprise, though.
Was it a surprise to you?
I think it was. Miff Warhurst, because I thought she was an ABC girl.
Well, she is.
But I'm guessing she's more of a radio person now, so they can share.
All the money comes out of the same taxpayer bucket.
Yeah, but it goes into different buckets, and those buckets will never, ever share.
You don't forget, Miff was actually one of the Australian judges for the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, she was too.
Yes, so she's very tied to Eurovision.
Yeah.
Because her musical knowledge is highly respected.
Yeah, like all those other judges.
Yes.
So Miff and Joel, what do we think of this?
Well,
and I am opening this question, of course, up to all the joysters. Send us through what you think, 0427JOY949. Email onair@joy.org.au. Please don't call. Robbie Rockstar's still in his sickbed.
I don't know. That's my answer. See, because we were actually in Sydney for Mardi Gras, we didn't watch the SBS Mardi Gras broadcast on Sunday night.
I have no idea how they went.
And that was Joel's test run. So obviously SBS were very happy with his performance as a presenter host.
Yeah, but see,
like Miff's a great host. She's done lots of TV stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Again, but look, all right. Shall I have my opinion?
Sure.
I am known for having an opinion.
Really?
I'm not convinced by this duo.
No?
I don't know. Like, they've done their little advert.
Although,
part,
I need to wind you back about 5 years.
Oh, what happened then? I've
you
forgotten.
You said you didn't like Sam.
Yeah, I was never a massive fan of Sam. I'll admit it. I was Team Julia Zemiro.
Right.
And
not the other Julia that's just got a new job.
But no, I never really changed that. She was always the sort of fun one, and he was the straight man.
Right.
That's how I always looked at it. But this one, I don't know.
Well, they've added gay. I mean, Sam's straight, so
yeah.
So
yeah.
They've added way more gay now.
Well, you can't get much more gay than Joel.
So
like he's Uber.
Yeah.
Not a taxi. I will reserve my actual final judgment until I've seen them together in an actual thing that's not a stupid scripted ad.
Somebody suggested today that why are SBS bothering paying hosts when we could just take the BBC feed with Graham Norton?
Hey, look, you could do that, but we're competitors now. We have to actually have our own bloody hosts over there, right?
Okay.
We can't take the English one where they're sitting there just woeing and talking about how terrible their acts are.
Yeah.
Because we've got a chance, people.
Well, you know, they did take Terry Wogan off because they actually blamed him for them not getting any votes because he slammed past everybody else.
Look, I'm going to say it, though. He was awesome.
Ah, he was amazing.
Brilliant. They still have got a lot to live up to.
Mm.
I hope they do. I'm just not sure they will. Time to look at Mariah. Mm-hmm. There's always something to see with Mariah.
When I watched that show, I got more than an eyeful, and I really don't want to look at it again.
In case you're wondering, yes, that was Mariah's World, which I must admit was a god-awful pile of crap.
Oh, it was just
and
rubbish.
It was such a bad ad for Mariah.
Yeah.
Because she came across as a combination of a stupid bimbo and... Well, just that, really. It was just terrible.
Mm.
And the sad thing was, she had final call on edit.
I know.
So she actually approved how it went out. God, it was awful. Anyway, now I'm just going to give you a quick quote, just so we know where we're going with Mariah. Here's what she said about people who work in normal jobs. I wouldn't understand somebody who had a desk job.
Is that it?
Poor Mariah. But there is big, big news for Mariah. Now, fresh, obviously, from the unmitigated success of Mariah's World, which will not be coming back for a season two.
No. You know, every time you watch Mariah's World, there was a... That came up every 3 seconds.
Yeah, and then you'd see her in a bustier or whatever it is.
Lots of moaning.
And inappropriately... high heels.
And then mainly this bit.
Because it was her fantasy, that entire show. But, no. But. Cancel fantasy. Gone. Right. Mariah's getting ready to make another movie. I know. All right. We can see.
Wasn't that the start of some very bad times?
Yes. We all remember Glitter.
Yes.
That movie.
Yes.
But this time she's going a different tack.
Oh, really?
What is her most...
She's going to let her manager run it.
Oh, God, no. We're not doing a Russian mafia movie. No, she's picking up what is possibly her most successful song, let's be blunt, and turning it into a Christmas movie. No, not that one.
Not that one.
No. All I Want for Christmas Is You is becoming...
No!
And... animated Christmas feature.
No.
Mariah's going to be voicing the movie, producing the movie, singing the theme tune of the movie.
So now a whole new generation will get an animated Christmas movie with that song associated with it, which means for the next 40 years it'll be on every Christmas.
Yep.
Oh, God.
So she sent out a tweet to all her followers to announce the movie was coming. In it, she's lying on a couch in festive pajamas, stroking a small Jack Russell dog. And apparently...
What?
And apparently the Jack Russell dog just looks like it's trying to get away from her. Dog smart.
Dog smart.
So, yeah, so it's going to be an animated one. Mm. It's all about a girl who looks strikingly like a young Mariah Carey. and it's about her, and she's going to be, like, getting a dog and all that sort of stuff. Look, let's be blunt. It's going to be god-awful.
And the kids will love it.
But it may be strangely addictive to watch. Oh. So anyway, it's coming out for Christmas. So what is it you want for Christmas?
Years of this.
Anyway, moving on from that kind of queerness to a slightly different kind.
Really?
But actually there's kind of the same. Kind? No, it's all the same, really. Over to the US of A, where another right-wing Christian pastor has popped up.
And gone queer?
No, he's found a new cure for gayness.
Oh, I've been looking for that all my life.
I know, and it's a tasty way to cure the gayness.
I think I was looking for that. Something like that.
Well, you're looking for something.
I know.
Don't know if you found it or not. But no, they found a new and tasty way to cure the gayness in
really?
The gays.
Really?
Yes.
Well, at least if it's gonna cure, it may as well taste good.
I know. And it's good. Based around cake.
Cake.
Who knew cake could cure gayness?
Well, I like cake.
So Dallas-based internet pastor...
And
he's an internet pastor.
I love that.
Like Homer, he printed out the little, the little dog collar thing. Internet pastor Lance has made this extraordinary claim. He was talking to a woman who was trying to find a way to cure her son's homosexuality.
Of course he was.
And he said, well, I'll tell you a story. So he recounted the following story.
Please, it sounds like Book of Mormon.
Oh, it kind of is. Ding dong. The evangelicals were able to convince a gay bar owner, you know, we're talking top end gay here, a gay bar owner, to renounce his gayness through the magic of cake. That's right.
Let them eat cake.
I know. So apparently, you know, the cake is the way. He said one of the guys who used to hang out in the gay bar was saved, and he then went and baked a cake for the owner of the gay bar, who was also gay and really
then,
anti-Christian.
Then they had big cake parties where they got... No.
No, they prayed over the cake, and that made it...
Yes,
and
a sprayed.
That made it a special cake. And no, it wasn't the kind of one that's legal in Colorado. And then after the gay guy ate the cake that he was given by the ex-gay guy who baked the cake, are you getting this story? It's like an episode of like The Bold and the Beautiful. When he ate the cake, the power of God hit him. Hit him full in the head while he was eating the cake.
You sure that wasn't the empty plate?
So the baker ended up leading the guy to the Lord and baptizing him. Mm. Now we don't. Did you actually follow that story?
So I'd ask you to repeat it, but it'd take way too long.
Look, the former gay that made a cake for the other gay who was still gay, but then he ate the cake and then he was knocked in the head and he wasn't gay anymore.
So the upshot is eating cake will make you not gay.
Yeah, but we don't know actually what kind of cake. Does it matter what kind of cake, or does it just have to be a special cake?
My nana used to make rainbow cake.
Well, we can see what happened to you. Made you very rainbow. Anyway, watch out for cake from Christians.
Look at this country. You are gay.
Now, I'm going to have to talk about the Real Housewives.
Real Housewives.
Yes. Now, first up, I will have to point out, I was really kind of bored with the Australian ones. I just didn't get into the Real Housewives of Melbourne. And the Real Housewives of Sydney are just awful.
They're horrible.
Horrible people. Mm. Awful. And I've never bothered with any of the others. But that may be about to change.
Really?
Yes.
But there's been hundreds of, like, tens of
series. Oh, there's Real Housewife of any place you would care to mention. Yeah. You know.
And places you've never heard of.
I know. Which is actually... what a lot of these ones are. But the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is looking to put on a new cast member.
Oh.
Yes, yes. The Real Housewife that they are looking to put on is one of my favourite people, as you know. Controversial, but one of my favourites.
No.
What?
They couldn't. They wouldn't.
Well, hang on. Where are you going?
Tell me.
It's Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, my God.
That's right. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are doing the negotiating to get Caitlyn as a full-time cast member of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh, yeah. And it's and if it all works according to plan, she'll be starting on the show when her biography is, autobiography is to be released.
She couldn't just give up the reality television, could she?
When your entire career is a reality TV show
She hated being on
the
Kardashians.
Yeah, because she was there with her awful ex-wife. I think anybody would hate being on a show with Kris Jenner. Come on. Awful. Awful. And then she liked doing her own show, but just nobody wanted to watch it.
No.
So now she gets to get...
Surely that's a bit of a risk for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That, it's an ensemble cast?
An ensemble?
Ensemble. So she'll be there with a number of other ladies as well. So, you know, the risk is minimised. Right. But I think she'll be fabulous. And I'm sure the other Kardashians will accidentally wander through because they, well, you know, they don't mind a bit of fame.
Is that it?
That's it. I'm looking forward to it.
You're going
to
make me sit in the same room and watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And as we both know, Chris, I don't do that. I never make you switch over to Arena and watch The Real Housewives of...
anything.
But we will be watching the Beverly Hills edition if Caitlyn Jenner gets on there.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.